Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now we have been bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for the good messages. We praise the Lord for all the prayers, the support, the provision, this radio station. And we thank the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about part two in our discussion about anxiety. And so the message today is going to be anxious for nothing. This is from the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, the letter of Philippians. And so Paul is giving instruction to the Philippians, and we can take that instruction for ourselves today in our lives that we have here. And it's good instruction for us, as many are suffering from anxiety and depression, despair, and discouragement. And the times are tough, so the Lord has instruction for us on how to deal with this in our life. So we'll take up this passage here, turn to Philippians 4, chapter 6, and we'll take up this passage here in just a minute. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Before we jump into the message today, I just want to give you a brief update on what's going on over here in Kenya, coming to you from Kenya today, live and well. And we've been having a lot of rain, had a big rain last night, and we're getting into the short rain, what they call the short rain or the fall growing season. And we're very happy with our plantings. We've got a good stand of maize, good stand of beans and peanuts, groundnuts they call them here, groundnuts, and lots of vegetables, sukuma or kale and saga, managu, traditional vegetables. And so we're aiming to have a good balanced diet for the children in the home and produce some good organic food. And so that is the blessing that we have on the farm. And the church is going well. We're having capacity church crowds just about every week. We're having to add more chairs, and eventually we'll probably have to add on to the church, build a bigger church. And so that is a wonderful thing, to be getting crowded in your church. And so we praise the Lord for that. So today we're going to be talking in our message about be anxious for nothing. This is part two in our series dealing with anxiety. And I don't have to recite all the things that are going on in the world. You know it. The turmoil in government, the turmoil in the economy, all the different aspects of economic collapse in America, the collapse of the dollar, inflation as it eats into everybody's pocketbook and everybody's paycheck. And so we have a lot going on in the spiritual realm as well, the moral decay that is happening in America, the moral decay and the decadence that is being pushed by the government and pushed by certain individuals, Hollywood elites, and all of this that is bearing down on the family, bearing down on individual moral discipline and moral conduct. And so we have a lot going on in America. And as things barrel towards the end times, as things go rapidly picking up pace towards the end times, there will be no let up on this type of pressure. There'll be no let up on this type of spiritual warfare. And so you have to learn to deal with it. I have to learn to deal with it. We have that kind of pressure in the ministry as well, because people come to us expecting help. They expect answers. They expect prayers. And so we have to be able to give them help and give them strength and encouragement, give them hope. And again, that is the reason for this radio broadcast. When I started it back in 2005, was just to help give people hope and encouragement, encourage the people out in the prison, as that was my ministry base at that time. And so the encouragement comes from God's word. The message comes from God's word. The peace and the hope comes from Jesus Christ. And so we'll be looking at all those aspects of how to deal with anxiety, how to deal with stress and despair and depression as we look into this passage of scripture. So the scripture is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. If you have it there, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to new believers, baby Christians, at the church in Philippi. And so he is writing this letter to them, and he says to them, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so Paul is encouraging people to pray, and that is what I am encouraging you to do today as well. When you have anxious thoughts, when you have a lot of problems building in your life, a lot of strongholds coming against you in your life, spiritual warfare coming at you from every side, God encourages us to pray. Beloved, this is the key to a life of peace, is to learn to turn your problems, learn to turn your strongholds, your issues, your battles over to the Lord. Let the Lord fight the battle for you. Let the Lord take the battle to the enemy for you. And when you do that, then you can live a long life. You can have peace. And I'm going to just be looking at some scriptures here as we go through this passage here in Philippians 4. I'm going to be looking at some scriptures that will bring into focus and emphasize, accent those things that Paul has says. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Well, prayer is the most important thing. It's your link to God. It's your communication with God. Without prayer, you have no real relationship with God. Yes, you can be saved, but without prayer, you have no ongoing daily. He wants communion with you. And so as you look at your life, are you spending time with God in prayer? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you stay in your house all day and don't go to work and you just pray, pray, pray? Well, there might be a few days when you want to do that, but for the most part, that's not a practical life. For the most part, that's not a way that you can function. And so you have to learn to pray while you're doing other things. You have to learn to pray while you are working. You learn to pray while you're driving down the road. You learn to pray while you're taking care of your kids. And I think of a missionary we had that was sent out from Norton. He went to Brazil and lived there a long life, had a great mission there in Brazil, planted, I don't know, maybe 1,000 churches that were derived from his ministry. And so he told me one time, I said, how did you accomplish all those things that you've accomplished in your life down there? And he was there over 50 years, but he said, we learned to work while we were praying. And so I took great encouragement in that. We learned to work while we were praying, or we learned to pray while we were working, I guess would be another way to say it. We learned to pray while we were working. So you can't just stay holed up in your house or go to the high mountain to pray all the time, go to the retreat. You have to learn to work and get the things done in the kingdom, and do that while you're praying, or pray while you're doing those things. And praise God, that was a revelation to me. I pray every morning and I pray at night. My main prayer time is at night, but I also pray some in the morning. And I lay those things out to God that He has put on my heart, or the enemy has put on my heart, either way. And so when you do that, then you lay those things onto God's plate. You put them in front of the Lord and you say, Lord, these are things that are weighing me down. These are things that are pressing on me, and I'm turning them over to you. I'm turning the battle over to you. And Lord, I know that you can take care of this battle for me, that you can be victorious for me in this battle. Well, Jesus, when he talked in the Sermon on the Mount, he said in Matthew chapter 6, and I encourage you to read all of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And in verse 7 in chapter 6, Jesus says, and when you pray, Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. Well, that begs the question, if the Father already knows what your needs are, and he already knows what your problems are, and he knows what the enemy is doing against you, what is the point in praying to God if he already knows all those things? Well, just as I said before, the point is this: God wants a relationship with you. He wants to establish an intimate relationship with you. He wants you to come to him with your problems. He wants you to come to him with your praises. He wants you to come to him when you have joy, when you have sorrow, when you have suffering, and when you have accomplishments, all of those things. When you have needs in the ministry, needs in your family, needs in the church, those things, you come to the Lord and you establish a relationship with him, and then he becomes your best friend. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit become your best friend, because sometimes your human friends abandon you. Sometimes they can't help you. Sometimes they die. Sometimes they're in the hospital. Sometimes they have things going on in their life where they're not able to help anyone. But God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always there. The Holy Spirit abides in you if you are a believer, if you are a child of the living God. The Holy Spirit abides in you, and so they are always there, no matter the day, no matter the hour, no matter the second, no matter where you're at, they are there. And so Jesus said, therefore, do not be like the Gentiles or be like the hypocrites, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And then he says, pray in this manner. Therefore, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is God's will that the things that take place through you and because of you and with you, those things have already been established in heaven. The pattern for your life has been established in heaven, and God's plan for your life, his destiny, and his call upon you has been spoken over you in heaven. And the Bible also said that God's word is settled in heaven. And so if you're praying God's word, if you're praying the scripture, the Bible, and you're making requests according to the will of God, as he has spoken it over your life, if you're making requests according to his will for you, then you are doing the will of God, and it shall be done on earth. It shall be done in your life as it has been spoken and as it has been settled in heaven. And so praise God for that, that his will be done, and collectively as a church, as the body of Christ, God has a plan for his kingdom here on this earth, not just for you individually, but God has a plan for his kingdom here on his earth, and it is his will that the kingdom come, and it is his will that the kingdom here be manifest in the way that it has been established and spoken in heaven. And so when you pray, you're just coming into agreement with what God has already declared. You're just coming into agreement with what God sees up there in heaven, and what Jesus has spoken not only in heaven but here on earth, and what the Holy Spirit has declared to you when he hears from God. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. And so when you pray, you're coming into agreement with what God has declared over you and over your life. And so you establish a relationship, you establish communion with God, you establish his plans in your life, you establish his plan on this earth through you, through your church, through your family, through the nation, and you remember as a nation, we spend our money, we put our cash out on the counter, and it says, in God we trust. Well, praise God for that, because if we ever quit trusting in God here in America, America will be finished. And so that is God's plan for this nation, that it continues to be a beacon of light for the world. I'm here in Africa today because people in the United States of America have made a pledge and are in agreement that God's plans should come to fruition here in Kenya and here in Africa. And so I'm here as a result of that. I didn't come here by chance. This isn't just an accidental place that people drop into. It's very difficult to live here at times. And so it's not very high on people's bucket list of places to visit, but God's will, and he declared that to me, he showed that to me, God's will is that his kingdom come here in Africa, as well as in the U.S., as well as in France or Germany or Mexico or any other place on the earth. And there is over 1 billion people here on the African continent, and many of them are of pagan religions. Many of them still, even to this day, worship rocks and trees and natural things. And so it is God's plan that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, back to the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, verse 11 in chapter 6. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, it's okay to ask for your daily bread. It's okay to request, God, I need school fees. That's a big prayer on the hearts of the people here in Kenya. Many, many of them are lacking in school fees because here they have to pay for the entry into school, even primary school. They will let them come in the first week of school, and then after about a week, they send them home. They embarrass them and humiliate them in front of their classmates and in front of the community because they walk the streets talking to people about school fees. And so this has become a burden for me as well, as I have many children to send to school. All of the children at the children's home pay school fees, and we send some to secondary school, some to junior high schools, many to primary school. And so it's okay to ask the Lord for help with your daily bread, with putting food on your table. And I say with putting food on your table, it is an honorable thing for you to do, to work. If you're not working, don't expect other people to pick up your shoes. Having a tendency for people to lean back on the nanny state, on the social welfare state, and so that is not God's plan. It is okay if you are in an emergency or have some kind of issues where you can't work, but if you're able, if your body is able and your mind is able, you need to work and take care of your family. And so it's okay to ask for your daily needs, for your daily bread. God says, I don't want to see my children begging bread. And then he says, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sometimes you have to forgive people that you have loaned money to and just don't have an expectation you're going to get that money back. Sometimes you just have to say, bless them, and maybe they needed it worse than I did, and just let them have it. And then also he says, lead us not into temptation. This is a plea for the Lord to protect you. Psalm 91 is a great psalm you can pray. Psalm 91, that the Lord will keep you and you will abide in the shadow of his wings, or under the shadow of his wings. And so learn to pray that Psalm 91. Go there and read it and memorize parts of it. Memorize the whole thing if you can. It's a great scripture to watch over you as you go about your daily walk. And then Paul says back in Philippians 4, he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Well, that's an interesting word, supplication. What does it mean? Supplication is a plea for mercy. There are times when in our prayers, we just need to get down on our knees and plead for mercy in our life. and say, Lord, this situation is just too big for me. This situation, I can't handle it. And I plead for mercy, Lord. I don't deserve anything that you've given me. And mercy, of course, is like grace. It's like the favor, only mercy is not giving us the judgment or not giving us the payment that we deserve. And so along with grace, grace is the favor of God, and mercy and grace go together. And so Paul says here in supplication, he says, with supplication, with thanksgiving. In other words, give thanks, even though it may be a tough situation. Give thanks. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so you need to cultivate, nurture a heart of thanksgiving in your life. Cultivate thanksgiving in every situation, even if it's a difficult situation and you want to lash out to the Lord, you want to shake your fist at him, and you want to get angry and say, God, where are you? God, where did you leave me? Why did you leave me? I don't see you. I don't hear from you. How long, O Lord? Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eye, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, we have overcome him. Lest my adversary rejoice when I am shaken. And so the Lord has said, I'm there with you. I will abide with you. I sent my Holy Spirit to be with you. And back to Psalm 13, but I have trusted in the Lord. I rejoice in his salvation. I sing praises to his name, for he has dealt bountifully with me. And so learn to praise the Lord in every situation. Learn to praise the Lord when it's going good. Learn to praise the Lord when things are difficult and you're struggling. Just give thanks. Bwana Asifiwe is my favorite phrase over here in Kenya. Bwana Asifiwe, Bwana Jesu Asifiwe. Praise the God. Praise the living God. Psalm 25, verse 7, it says, remember me, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. Remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. And so you're asking the Lord to remember you, the good things you've done. Say, Lord, remember the good things I've done. Blot out those bad things. And when you repent and you confess of your sins, then you are getting in right standing with God. Maybe some of you, before you need to pray, you just need to say, God, forgive me. I need your loving kindness. I need your mercy. And remember not the sins that I've done. Father, forgive me. Forgive me, for I didn't intend to do them. Or maybe if you did, maybe if you had intentional sins, you say, Father, forgive me, for I knew not what I was doing. Just as Jesus spoke from the cross, those that had crucified him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And so there are times when we don't know what we're doing. There's times when we sin intentionally and we do know what we're doing, but you ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. Mercy on me. And that's supplication, praying for mercy, asking the Lord for mercy. And then back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Well, that is the solution. That is the answer to anxiety, that when you pray and you ask the Lord with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, you make your request known to God, then that the peace of God will settle on you. You will have peace in your heart. You will have peace in your mind. You will have peace in your daily walk, in your life. And that peace then will transcend all of the situations that come up in your life. And as you pray each day, and as you plead for mercy each day, and you give thanks each day, that peace will transcend, and you can get your mind off your problems, you can get your mind off your circumstances, and you put your mind
back on Jesus Christ and back on His love for you and His peace for you. Well, the peace of God, one of the names of Jehovah is Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom, and that is the God is our peace. Judges 6:24, when the Lord was speaking to Gideon, then the Lord said to Gideon, "Peace be with you, Gideon. Do not fear, you shall not die." And so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and he called it, "The Lord is peace." And so I pray Jehovah Shalom over you today. I pray the peace of God over you today. I pray that God will come into your heart and guard your heart and your mind with the peace of God, with Jehovah Shalom. And Paul says that peace surpasses all understanding. Jesus said in John 14:27, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." When God gives you peace, when Jesus gives you peace, it will transcend every situation in your life. It will transcend your financial problems, your stronghold problems, your spiritual battles, and that peace will settle on your life and help you make good, rational decisions. You won't get rattled and make poor decisions. And so that peace then is guarding your heart and your mind. That peace can't come from the world. That peace has to come from the Lord, because the world doesn't have it to give. Well, I hope this helps you in your daily walk. Pray and give thanksgiving. Pray for mercy. Pray for understanding. Pray for God's provision, His protection, and His covering over you, and you will have the peace to deal with anxiety in your life. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. I hope you've enjoyed these messages. We'd love to hear from you. Help support this radio ministry and our projects in Africa. Sit down today, write us out a note, include a check, let us know you're listening, and God will bless you, God will bless us, and we will continue to minister to you through these radio broadcasts. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.